Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Desborough Baptist Church. If it's your first time, welcome. If it's your thousandth time, welcome. Welcome on Zoom as well, up in the Zoomiverse. Our service this morning... Right, so I need this here. Get myself organised first. So our service this morning, we're looking at Ruth. In particular, Ruth chapter 1. But firstly, the psalmist says in Psalm 63, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you. In a dry and weary land where there is no water, I have seen you in your sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. Let's start our worship with a prayer. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, that we are able to meet here today, either in person or via Zoom. Lord, we want to bring you our praises and worship this morning. Help us leave cares and concerns at the foot of your cross today and focus on you. Lord, I pray that you will speak through your words today as we look at the life of Ruth. Lord, may we see parallels with our own lives and lessons for the day to come. In Jesus' name, amen. So many of you will have gathered that I'm not a minister, a preacher, or qualified in any way whatsoever to stand here. So that's the reason that the songs are the songs, I'm afraid. They're not intelligently linked in any way to the service. They're just the ones that I like. So our first hymn this morning is O Lord, My God.
Thank you.
Please be seated. So for anyone with an order of service, I'm sorry, but we're already going to deviate. So I'm going to have to do a quick bit of flicking. Apologies. So before we look at Ruth, I'd like to ask you a question. What's at your centre? So I've brought a few things with me, and my wife's insisted that I use a tray. And I need some water, actually. Somebody could get me a jug of water. Thank you, dear. So, we have a jug. I'll put it on there. Could be messy, couldn't it?
Could be messy.
So let's see what we've got in here. First thing I've got is a stone, or a rock, or a pebble. So I'm going to put that in the jug. Sorry?
Going to need a bigger jug.
Ooh. Another stone. Does that fit in? Not really, does it? So that one's not going to work. What else have we got in here? Ooh. Got some smaller stones. So we'll put them in. Thank you, dear. There, is that full now? Yes? No. Maybe. Let's see what else we've got. This is where it gets messy. Got some sand. Ooh. Sand and water and electric. What could go wrong? There we go. Is it now? Is it full? No, there's gaps still, isn't there? Nope, it's not going to go down anymore. So is it full now? Nope. One more thing. So we're going to put some water in. Now the sand is going down. We could put a bit more sand in, actually. Ooh. That's why the tray was there. Now is it full? Ooh, I think it is now, isn't it? So, we've got our jug. Oops. Which is why we're on a tray. And it's now full. So, what happens if we do it again? Only this time, we do it in a different order. So, once again, is it full? No. We'll put some sand in now. Is it full now? I think it might be over full now. I think you could be right. No. So we know that we can put some water in there to fill it up even more. There it is. It's filling up. It's filling up. It's filling up. Now it's full. In fact, now it's overflowing. But what's missing? Can we get that one in? No. It's going to sit on top, isn't it? That's not really what we want. So, the question at the start was what's at the centre? What's at your centre? The jug, I'm going to move this now. The jug is your life. The big stone represents God. The gravel, or the smaller stones, represent some of the important things in your life. Your family, your friends, maybe work. I don't know. What's important in your life? The sand The smaller things in life. Maybe money or clothes. And the water, everything else. So what can we see here? When we put God in the centre, when we put God in first, everything else fits in around nicely. Can we get God out now? Not easily, can we? He's stuck in the middle. He's not coming out of there. If we don't put God first in our life every morning and we try and fit him in afterwards, doesn't work, does it? He falls away and we forget. So my question again to you this morning is, what is at the centre of your life? We're going to sing again, Mission Praise 663, if you've got the books, The Price is Paid. But before we do, we're going to pray for our young people, and they're going to go on up to Sunday social. So let us pray. Lord, as our young people leave us for Sunday social, we pray that they will have a good time. We pray, Lord, that they will learn in a relaxed and friendly environment. Lord, we pray for the leaders, for the conversations that they will have today. Be with them all, Lord, we pray, as they leave us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I've got to rewind.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Let's bring our prayers of intercession now to the Lord. Father God, we want to bring our world to you today. In the quietness, we think of the wars. The war in Ukraine, Lord. We bring to you the families caught up in the troubles, the loss of life and devastation caused. Lord, we think of the trouble in Yemen as tensions increase with drone strikes and retaliations. We would pray for peace, Lord, in these things. For the war over Gaza, again we see people fighting over land. They either live in or want to live in. We think of Africa and the many countries struggling with poverty and disease. Lord, we so often take for granted the things that we have. The simplest things, Lord, like a glass of water. We think of Europe and our neighbours. And we see so much trouble. We bring our world to you, Lord. A world that from all appearances is getting worse. There's more and more trouble and discord. A world that is drifting away from you and centering on itself. We pray for peace and reconciliation, Lord. Lord, we bring our own country now, and little appears to be different. We see almost every day someone being attacked. And we pray, Lord, for the healing for the lady and her two children in Clapham. We can't imagine how they must be feeling, Lord. But we can pray for healing and for your presence. Lord, we pray for peace with an increase in knife crime amongst our young people. It's a worry for us all, and we pray your presence, Lord, your peace will settle on this land. Finally, Lord, we turn our thoughts to our own town, to Desborough. In the quietness now, we bring to you our cares and concerns, laying them at your feet, Lord. Lord, there are many in our congregation who are ill, struggling with life in general, or grieving, Lord. Some look forward and see operations and procedures in their future, Lord, and this causes concern. And we just want to lift those people up to you now, Lord. We want to give them to you. As we name them quietly in our hearts now. Lord, we pray for the church in Desborough. We pray that we will see a revival. We will see the church overflowing with people, all coming to worship you. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing again. To God be the glory. I've got to skip through now. please be seated. Our reading this morning comes from Ruth chapter 1, and Lynn's going to read for us.
In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, and his wife's name was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness, as you have shown kindness to your dead husband and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will rest in the home of another husband. Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has turned against me." At this they wept aloud again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning.
And I recommend that you read the book of Ruth. We will be studying it over the next 4 weeks. If somebody had said that to me, it would probably sent a shiver down my spine. But it is only 4 chapters, so not a major read. If you have a read through, it will give you a better understanding of the picture. But we'll start with a bit of background. So, it was set in a time of turbulence in the Old Testament. It was set in the time of Judges, thought to be around the time of Deborah. So if you know anything about Judges, you'll know that the book of Judges, we often see these four S's, a pattern, going right the way through the book of Judges. We see sin, the sin of the nation. Then we see supplication. Then servitude. And then salvation. And this pattern goes all the way through Ruth.
Sorry.
Through Judges, not through Ruth. In fact, it's not mentioned at all in Ruth. So why was Ruth included in the Bible? There appears to be no single answer to this. However, it is clear that we can learn much of the teachings and how God works. It also forms part of the genealogy of David and ultimately of Christ our Lord. So the journey they made was from Bethlehem, around the Dead Sea, to Moab. Two regions that didn't have much love for each other. Moab sat there between the Dead Sea and the desert. It really wasn't a very good land. It was semi-arid. It was a wasteland almost, not suitable for cultivating, but excellent for grazing. For grazing sheep and goats. The trip to Moab would have been around 60 miles. So that's 60 miles walking, not jumping in a car like you and I might do, but walking across to Moab. So that would probably be about the same as walking to King's Lynn with everything you own. Don't think I'd fancy that. That's a long walk. A long, long walk. So why would they choose to make this journey? The family were poor. They didn't have a great deal. So when trouble struck in Bethlehem, Judah, they chose to leave. Elimelech and Naomi travel with their sons to Moab. As I say, they were likely very poor. They had nothing to lose. They had to move to find food and a better life. They stayed there around 10 years. And in this time, their two sons were married. They would have been considered similar to those we see in our current day, travelling around to find a better place to live. Whether that be asylum seekers or whether that be somebody moving from the north to the south for a better life, for a better life for their family. Then tragedy strikes. Naomi loses her husband, still has her sons, and she puts all her hope in them. Then tragedy strikes again. And she loses her two sons. Naomi's left with only two daughter-in-laws. Daughter-in-laws? Daughters-in-law. Daughters-in-law. In verse 6, Naomi hears that there's food again back in Bethlehem. She sets out from the family home. Before she goes, she sets her two daughters-in-law free. From the claim she has over them. So in Levitical law, Naomi had a claim over her two daughter-in-laws. That was to protect the widow and her family name. So she releases them from their obligation, but she also releases herself from the obligation of providing a husband. It would seem the perfect scenario. Hence, she releases them from their obligations. They're free to return. Orpah chose to leave. And we're not really told much about her after this. Orpah offers a view, really, of how some people take the safe, the easy path in life and go back to what they know. Orpha can now remarry and start a new life with a new husband. But what about Naomi? Naomi still insists that Ruth leaves. Ruth, on the other hand, has other ideas. Ruth chose to stay with Naomi, showing her loyalty, changing her beliefs and following Naomi's God. This must have taken great courage. She was taking a path that would appear to lead her to nothing, to the same fate as Naomi, husbandless, childless, desolation, not a great choice or fortune. I wonder if that rings any bells with us. Ruth didn't have the benefit of reading forward, of reading the four chapters to see what was going to happen. She had no idea what was coming. And if we look at that, that would be choosing something that would lead to a very difficult life. A very difficult life indeed. But she stays with Naomi, showing her both loyalty and loyalty to God. We can't read ahead, as I say, in our lives. And I'm not sure I'd want to, really, in some cases. Would you want to know what was coming? Maybe not. Maybe not. So we can't read forward, and neither could she. But she steps out into the unknown and follows God, which gives us a pattern for our own lives. How often do we take the easy road? Are we like Orpah? Do we go home? Do we travel back to what we know? Or do we follow God? Do we stand firm for him and show him loyalty? So there are two main characters in chapter one. Naomi, meaning pleasant or gentle, and Ruth, meaning friendship. In verse 20, we find Naomi changes her name to Mara. In those days, a person's name often was descriptive of them. A bit like our surnames now. Please don't ask me where mine came from. Well, you can, but it's I think there's a Biddle, and we're from the Coombs, so we're from the valleys down in Dorset, I believe. But the names meant something, and Naomi changed her name to Mara. The Almighty has made my life very bitter. Do you ever feel like that? Sometimes life can appear to be very difficult and there seems to be no way out. In Ruth, we find five, I'll get it right, primary characteristics. Faith, courage, loyalty, obedience, and generosity. And we're going to take a look at those now. So the first one, faith. What does faith mean? Complete trust in God. Have you ever played the game where you trust somebody so much that you fall backwards into their arms? Very scary. You need to have faith in them. And you need to have faith in God. And that he is going to look after you. Complete trust is another way of looking at it. Ruth had this. We see she didn't know what the future held. But she had faith in God. And that he would guide her. There are 458 references of faith in the NIV Bible. So it's very important. In Romans chapter 1, verse 5, Paul says this. Through him and for his name's sake, we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among the Gentiles. The obedience that comes from faith. So, do you have this kind of faith in God? Do I have it? Do we have this kind of faith in God? The next characteristic was courage. The ability to face danger, difficulty or uncertainty without fear. Often referred to as boldness or confidence. In Chronicles 1, chapter 28, verse 20, we read of David and his son. And it says this, David also said to Solomon, his son, be strong and courageous and do the work. Do not be discouraged from the Lord, for the Lord my God is with you. What was Ruth thinking when she said she would face the uncertain future with Naomi? Just want you to imagine that future. That future was returning back to no income, no security, no safety. She's going back to her family home, so there would have been somewhere to stay, but they would have had nothing. What sort of courage does it take to make that sort of journey? Can you think of a time in your life when you felt discouraged or afraid? Like Ruth, we are courageous for God. Generosity, a simple act. In Hebrews 13:16, it says, do not forget to do good and share with others, for with such sacrifice, God is pleased. Generosity is not just about money. It's about your time. It's about your effort. It's about a commitment to serve. We can see in Ruth that she had those things. She was committed to Naomi. It's making a sacrifice, giving up something to benefit others at a cost to you. So, like Ruth, our challenge this week is to seek some way to show generosity to others. And I want you to just think about that for a moment. How can you show generosity to others around you in this coming week? As a Christian, what can we do? Loyalty. And this is both to God and man, or to Naomi. Loyalty is not only seen outwardly, but it can be seen in our behaviour. As with Ruth in verse 16, she showed her loyalty to both Naomi and to God. In a single act, Ruth showed us how we should behave. She shows loyalty to Naomi, staying with her, but also makes a commitment to God. Something we should be doing every morning, at the start of every day. So just like the rocks here, every morning, do we put God in the jug first and then fill our life around that? Or do we start with our life and then try and fit God in afterwards? Finally, obedience. In simple terms, it's hearing the word of God and acting on it. Or for Ruth, it was following the law. We have a vision statement within our church. helping people of all ages to find and follow Jesus. Do we actually look for ways to do this? Do we actively do this? I wonder if you have a personal statement or a vision. People are smiling. Maybe, maybe not. But we've got one for a church. What about for you individually? What's your vision? What's your statement? What's God calling you to do? What's he calling you to do today? We see a lot of people today who face difficult choices and find themselves in hardship. What will we do this week to help someone? When Ruth and Naomi returned, it was the start of the barley harvest. God had shown mercy to his people, and fortunes were about to change for both the people of God and for Naomi and Ruth. So some big questions there. Big questions for us to think about. What is at the centre of your life? Have you got those characteristics? Generosity. Loyalty. Obedience. Have you got all of those characteristics that you're being called to share today? Let us pray. Father God, we see so much of ourselves in Ruth. Lord, we face challenges every day. Help us to put you front and centre in our lives every morning, Lord, that we may make those decisions showing loyalty, courage, faith, obedience, and generosity, Lord. Help us to be the people you want us to be in this town. Help us to find people and bring them to you, helping people of all ages, Lord, to find you. Thank you, Lord, that we have been able to share and spend this time together. And Lord, as we say the words that you taught us, help us just to remember you and the commitment that we make to you. As we say the words together, our Father that art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our closing hymn, while Brian makes his way across, and I must say thank you to Brian, because he's stood in and done all the songs, so I don't think the music group are quite... It's nice to see you here. They're not all fully well again yet at the moment. There's been a lot of bugs and germs. I think everybody's suffering at the moment. But thankfully, Brian's well. And our closing hymn then is... Lord, the light of your love is shining. So, as we close our service today, I want to leave you with some thoughts. Chapter 1 is all about choice. To go or stay, to follow or go back to where you started. This is a choice we all have every day. To pick up our cross and follow Christ, or to take the easy path. To put the stone in the jug in the centre and fill everything else around. Let's say the grace together. Grace of our Lord
Jesus Christ.
The love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.